Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
Bless the Lord.
You may be seated as you're getting seated. If you're just joining us by radio, you're saying to yourself, I've heard that lead singing voice before. Yes, you have. That's Allie Rodriguez. She's the one who introduces the show every week.
Hallelujah.
So those of you who don't listen by radio, you don't know Allie is like the star. The only reason why people actually even tune in is Allie's voice. isn't that right, Allie? Something like that. Something like that. Check out Pastor Dave's blog. She has all that down. So that she's the one who introduces the show. But if you're joining us by radio, welcome. If you're joining us by internet, welcome. Facebook, all those things, welcome. And if you're here physically, welcome. So glad to have you here today. We trust our service will be a blessing to you. We've had a really special week this week. In addition to our regular Bible Institute, and recovery, and Bible studies, and Friday night fasting and prayer, last night, we had what we call our karaoke social for people with special needs. And we had a wonderful time here together. Had really a full house. And Sarah, did you have a good time last night, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter had an amazing time. All of her friends were here. Some of her friends were here. And they sang and they sang and they sang. We all could take a lesson from them because sometimes they don't always sing on key, but they sing. And they sing loud they get into it. Jared's drums are a little off today. One of the gentlemen, he wanted us to sing some songs by The Police, and I don't really like that group. So I'm always worried about what we're going to see on the screen. So I let him use the drums over there for a while. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. We're auditioning him if things don't work out with Jared. So it'll be a blessing. You guys have more music. What's next?
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart. So let's worship the Lord together.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Whoa!
Can we remain standing and pray together? Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, that we are not victims. We are victors. Lord, this earth with its woes, with its sins, with its bad people, with its good people, Lord, it doesn't beat us. We win. Lord, this flesh with the temptations and trials it goes through, these bodies, though they break, Lord, though they fall apart, do not overcome us. We are victors. And that old serpent, the devil, Satan, our great adversary, whom we are told to be sober and be vigilant like, for he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't overcome us. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that we can turn to the last pages of the book. And it tells us, I saw coming out of heaven a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. And that every tear will be dried. And that we shall see you. We cry today, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're grateful for the chance to be here and to share, but this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven, where we're waiting for you to come. You want to blow the trumpet now? We'd love to go home. Lord, please, in this time that we have together, touch each of our hearts. May we, Lord, become the people you want us to be. Because you tell us, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then it says, everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. So, Lord, as we look for your coming, may we, Lord, at the same time, Lord, seek to be all that you'd have us to be right now. Lord, touch all of our lives as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We're in the fourth week of this series we call Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Our memory verse this week, if you have the memory packs, will be from Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, about God seeing everything we do. There is perhaps no arena in our world where our world is E-Stupider, if that is even close to a word, than the area of sex. Exactly, Sarah. Our world is crazy with reference to sex. Absolutely bizarre with reference to sex. No holds barred in reference to sex. The things that used to be whispered are shouted from the rooftops. And would be better not so. I mean, I wish some people were a little more embarrassed by their behavior. It would help us all. But nonetheless, we must biblically think about sex with reference to God and God's plan. You know, God's not embarrassed by sex. Sex was God's plan. I say, yay, God. Knew what he was doing. But our society, our world, has corrupted and perverted it. Today, we're going to talk about only one aspect, and that's the issue of fidelity. But we're going to talk about it from the book of Proverbs. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there is warning after warning after warning about falling into sexual immorality, in particular, Solomon is addressing a young man, giving him advice in reference to the seduction or being seduced by a woman. If you have a Bible, just go with me for a second. Humor me. Proverbs chapter 2 says the following, or if you're good with your smartphone, it says, men whose paths are crooked and whose are devious in their eyes, is telling what the proverb is designed to do. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress, with her smooth words. If you go to chapter 5 and verse 20, speaking to the same young man about the issue of fidelity, it said, why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? If you go a little bit further, chapter 6, verses 23 and 24, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Chapter 7, verse 5, says to keep you from the forbidden woman and the adulteress with her smooth words. I could take your time, we'll go through the rest of the verse, but you see what I'm saying. That Proverbs is very much on top of the whole idea of sexuality and fidelity with reference to that. There's also a clear parallel in Proverbs regarding a follower of God giving into the seduction of the world. Choosing lady folly over lady wisdom, we see this both in Proverbs and in the rest of Scripture. Followers of the one true God, in both cases, physically, with reference to morality, and spiritually, in reference to spirituality, should seek and practice fidelity. Now, you're trying to figure out what fidelity means. Fidelity, the word means in thought, word, and deed, remaining faithful and loyal to a cause or a person. So a married person has a requirement to be faithful to the person they are married to for fidelity. And in reference to spirituality, I have a responsibility to be faithful to my God and not allow the world to seduce me so that I allow it to become more important to me than my God. So we're going to talk today about fidelity. The world is he stupid, we want to be I smart with reference to fidelity. When you turn to Proverbs chapter 5, it's all about fidelity. And it begins with this sense that there's a possibility of infidelity. And there's a defense that we can have so that we don't become unfaithful to God or our spouses. Proverbs 5, 1 and 2 says, my son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. What it says. My son, he got this from his father to give to his son. Solomon's father was David. David told him this, kind of obeyed it. Solomon didn't obey it, but he says, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. In other words, he wants the son to realize there's a real possibility he could mess up. If you say today, oh, I would never cheat on my spouse, or I would never leave God, you're fooling yourself. I've known people more spiritual than anybody in this room, who's walked away. So that you keep discretion and your lips guard knowledge, so that your mouth doesn't get you in trouble, your feet don't get you in trouble. And here's a description regarding the forbidden woman. Note her deceitfulness. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Whoa! She's sweet! You hear that over and over again. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. She makes promises. She's smooth, and her speech is smoother than oil. Good rehearsed lines. But watch, she's sour. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. And watch the next phrase. Sharp as a what? Is there anything else you can think of referenced in the Bible that's sharp like a two-edged sword? God's Word. What does God's Word do? God's Word sometimes cuts us and it does surgery on us so that we can be healthy. The seductress only cuts. She don't care whether you're healthy or not. She doesn't care the end or not. What he is saying here regarding this woman is true of the world. The world and its seduction of us. Hey, man, don't be so serious about things. We've got something else better for you. Follow us. Listen to us. The lyrics, they're really sweet. The lyrics are really well written. It makes an appeal to us. But in the end, it's bitter as wormwood. It cuts us and messes us up. Her destructiveness, her feet go down to death, her steps follow the path to Sheol. She's headed down to death. Her feet go down to where? Death. She's headed for damnation. Her feet follow the path to where? Sheol. She's going to hell quick. And here's the thing. If you get on board with her, you're going to the same place. Your life will be messed up. That's true of what the world asks us to do. Follow us, man. You guys are prudes. You guys are crazy. Quit following Jesus like that. All things in moderation. Don't be a serious Christian. Be a gentle, easygoing Christian. Live and let live. Your beliefs, don't force them on anybody. Just be gentle. It doesn't matter. The problem is in the end is destruction. And then her ditziness. My wife asked if this was a blonde. I did not say that. I didn't say it was a blonde. My wife said, is she a blonde? She doesn't ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and what? She doesn't know it. She doesn't even know where she's at spiritually. She doesn't know where she is. She does not ponder the path of life. She doesn't know where she's going. Her paths wander, and she doesn't even know it. In other words, she's clueless. She's saying, follow me. Come after me. Do what I do. But the product is destruction. And she doesn't even know it. Our world acts so self-assured with what it says to us. Absolutely. No, live with somebody. Shack up with them. It's not a problem. Sex outside of marriage, that's for the old days. There's no problem with the way we want to live. Not recognizing that it leads to destruction. Not looking around and seeing how much destruction it has led to. Note the words of Proverbs 30, verse 20 regarding the adulteress. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats, wipes her mouth, and says what? I've done no wrong. This was wrong? You mean this was wrong? What's that old song? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. E stupid. If loving you is wrong, I'm going to be right. I'm going to leave you. But this is my soulmate. Let me tell you this. Let me just share this with you. I've read the Bible cover to cover over 15 times. I've not found the word soulmate. I know Greek and Hebrew. I have not found the word soulmate. Soulmate is an excuse to do what you want to do. Woo-hoo. You should say amen to that. If you're listening by radio, they're a little asleep today. But not only is there a possibility that you or I could mess up, there's a price for infidelity. Listen. That's what he says. He says, listen. And now, O sons, listen to me. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. Note the plural in sons. Sons and daughters, maybe even. Listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Listen. Do do not depart from the words of my mouth. No matter how much you are prodded to, no matter how much you think it will be worth it, it will not be such. Compromise will only lead to destruction. He says two things. Keep away from her. Keep away. Keep your way far from her. And then number two, stay away. Do not go near the door of her house. Why? Because she'll get you. We must recognize that we are all very vulnerable to temptation. All of us. Who's vulnerable to temptation? Everybody in the building. Everybody in the building. So all of us have the potential to fall. So when it comes to things of sexuality, when it comes to things where we could mess up, here's the smart thing to do. Stay away. Keep away and stay away. Run like you stole something, please. Have the sense God gave toads. No offense to toads. Run away. Run away. Run what? Away. And when it comes to the things of this world, we as Christians have made it a habit of being, you know, we like to say relevant. We like to say, we don't want the world to think that we're a bunch of prudes. The world already thinks you're a bunch of prudes. The world already thinks you're crazy. Do you think by looking like the world, by looking like the world, that you're going to gain anything? Nothing. So what should you and I do with reference to the world? Keep away and stay away. Be as different as possible. Bible calls us a peculiar people. I'm not saying you look strange, but I'm saying we're going to look strange. And then note loss here. Listen, why? Because of loss. Listen or lose. The loss of productivity. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless. What is it saying here? Your honor to others, your years to the merciless. What will you end up with if you or I either fall physically or fall spiritually? Look at the last line. A wasted life. How many lives do you get? You're not no cat, are you? One. One life. One life. You decide to mess up, you have the opportunity to waste that life. Spending years and years trying to fix a problem you should have never had. A wasted life. Wow. The loss of assets. Lest strangers take your fill of your strength and your laborers go to your labors go to the house of the foreigner. Unless you have to give it all away. Read of a major TV star who had to pay out a $32 million settlement. Now, I don't know if he was seduced or he was just stupid in some other way. How many of you could afford to lose $32 million? If I could find $32 million, I could afford to lose it. I can't find $32 million. He's giving his strength to someone else, his labors to someone else. Why? Falling in a sexual way. My strength is wasted. My labors are wasted. Loss of delight. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. What is it talking about here when it says, and the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed? It's talking about the fact that every one of us is going to get old. What are the chances of you getting old if you don't die right now or soon? You're going to get old. Your body's going to be a wreck, and it's going to be late. But when it's late, it's too late. And you say, oh, I hated discipline. My heart despised reproof. I should have listened to Pastor Dave. But it's too late. Regret. You're sitting there looking, where's my family? How does my family look at me? No respect. How does my family follow me? I have to say to them,
as I say, not as I do. And I say, man, I wish. You know what good wishing will do? Watch this. None. And then loss of honor. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. I didn't listen in private. The voice of my teachers or my instructors spoke to me. They said, hey, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. You don't want to mess up. Because if you mess up, you never can rise as far as you could have risen. And now I'm ruined in public. Ouch! Public shame. What we think is, we'll do this in private and no one will know. Your sin will find you out. Ouch! Ouch! There's a price and there's a possibility. When my wife and I were at Liberty University together, back in the every semester before we would be dismissed to go home, in that chapel, Pierre Gillerman, the president of Liberty University, would get up, and the last thing he would say to them, the kids, before they were dismissed, because many people had come out of very difficult lives, problems with alcohol, drugs, sex, etc. He'd say, young people, don't blow it. How many times do we hear him say that, Debbie? Oh, my goodness. Over and over and over and over again. Don't mess up your life. Don't do it. I feel like Dr. Guterman today. There's this real possibility, and there's a price. There's a price when it comes to leaving God. There's a price when it comes to being unfaithful or immoral. There's something that happens that you cannot fix easily, and sometimes you cannot fix. But there's protection from infidelity. I want you all to turn to Proverbs. Man, did I sound southern there. I'd like you all to turn to Proverbs chapter 5, 15 through 19. I thought about asking Pastor Schooling to read these as the scripture reading, but I was afraid he would start stuttering. Listen to these words. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Wow. Now, what we learn from these verses is Solomon was not a leg man. But beyond that, many interpretations. But this is the main thing I want you to see. I want to go back a second to Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all what? Vigilance. For from it flow the what? Springs of life. From my heart springs me. And it uses a water illustration. Do you see that? What happens in sex is this intimacy. And the reason why people chase sex is this desire for intimacy. And Solomon's going to give you tremendous advice regarding making sure you don't fall, making sure you don't mess up. And it has to do with mostly yourself. Know what it says. There's an imperative. He says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. What is he saying? He's first of all, he's saying, drink your own springs. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Be satisfied with you. Be satisfied with who? You. If you need someone to make you feel complete, you're not in a good place. You need to be satisfied with who? You, and who God has made you to be. Your intimate relationship with God needs to be that which fulfills your need for intimacy. First and foremost. If that you don't let that happen, you're going to have problems all your life. You say, oh, I'm going to get married and everything's going to be fine. No, you're going to get married and everything's not going to be fine. That's just the truth of the matter. You will not live happily ever after. Maybe you have some times of happiness, yes. But it won't go smooth all the time. That's not the way it's going to be. And then contain your own springs. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of waters in the streets, you're not going to share yourself with everybody. Why? Are you not supposed to do that? And beyond that, guard your own springs. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Don't give yourself away. Don't give your intimacy and that most important part of you away. Are you crazy? He's stupid. And then there's an invitation regarding infidelity. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you with all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. This is a powerful verse. A blessed fountain satisfies. So let's play a game here. You have an adulterous relationship with someone. Is that going to be blessed? And it ain't going to satisfy. You have an immoral relationship with someone. Is that going to be blessed? Is that going to be satisfying? No! So I need to have I want my fountain to be blessed. I want to have a relationship that is blessed by who? God. And then a committed fountain satisfies. And rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe, different imagery. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. Warren Wiersbe says this. Sam, you might want to write this down, take a picture of it. It's Warren Wiersbe. Says, God created sex not only for reproduction, but also for enjoyment. He didn't put the marriage wall around sex to rob us of pleasure, but to increase pleasure and protect it. In this chapter, Solomon explains the disappointments that come when people violate God's loving laws of sexual purity. Wow. Wow. Finally today, there is prevention for infidelity. Prevention. What can we do to make sure we're faithful to God beyond anything else? And then faithful to our spouses. There's a warning here not to sow. What happens when you sow? You reap. And you reap what you sow. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Why do you want to do that? Why are you being stupid? Intoxicated here, the Hebrew word sagah, means to be in an attitude or emotion of very great pleasure and fondness for an object, possibly as a figurative extension of staggering around in stunned or an inebriated state regarding the forbidden woman. Oh, she's so wonderful. She's my soulmate. And we're going to have this great time together. Not! Or when this world makes all these promises to us. And all you have to do is throw off your Christianity and jump in. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing crap. Don't ever forget that. I want that in your mind that I said it. It's going to be amazing crap. And you ought to run from it before it destroys you. Why would you hug this adulteress? This forbidden woman, the foreigner, someone who doesn't belong in your marriage, or foreign concepts that don't belong in your heart as a follower of Christ. The warning of what is reaped. Proverbs 5:21-23 says, a man's eyes are before the eyes of, a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders how many of his paths? All his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he is led, what? Oh my goodness. Watch this. The Lord sees all and what? Ponders all. If I do something at night, does God see it in the dark? If I do something in private, does God see that? If I do something and I don't tell anybody else about it, does God see it? Now, that's a very comforting thought. Whenever I'm in trouble, if I'm out in the middle of the ocean and there's on a boat and there's nobody else around and I looks like I'm going to die, who's there? God. If I'm in bed with someone I shouldn't be in bed with, oh. Ouch. Ouch. He sees all and he ponders all. Man's ways, before the eyes of the Lord, he ponders all his path. And our iniquities ensnare and entrap us. The freedom that we think we have since the sexual revolution has resulted in incredible bondage. Bondage, really? Can you say sexually transmitted disease? Can you say emotional messes? Whoa! We are ensnared by our iniquities. We are entrapped by our sins. We can't go anywhere. Sinful habits, Dr. J. Adams, the founder of basically nuthetic counseling, says sinful habits are hard to break, but if they're not broken, they will bind the client ever more tightly. He is held fast, he or she, by these ropes of their own sin. He finds that sin spirals in a downward cycle, pulling him along. He's captured and tied up by sin's ever-tightening cords. At length, he becomes what? Sin slave. And then he reaps what he has sown. Lack of discipline equals what? Death. Great folly equals led astray. Yes, God in his grace will forgive his sins if he repents. But God in his government sees to it that he reaps what he sows. We have a misunderstanding in Christendom about God's grace. We think God's grace gives us like this grace card, and we can be as stupid as we want to be and go, I got me a Jesus card. It's going to make it all better, right? No. It makes you forgiven. But it can't fix what you've done. That takes years of rebuilding. That starts as soon as you start or I start. Is there any positive takeaways today, Pastor? Who's this written by? Solomon. Let's see how it went with Solomon. Now, Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidians and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them. Neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in what? Love. What did it do? It destroyed him. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Goes on to say his heart was not holy, true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon, man, he had all the wisdom. He was climbing. He was going higher. He was going higher. He had the potential. And then, exactly. My iSmart, iFidelity will require something of me. Our relationship with God is correlated to a marriage relationship. The church is set to be the bride of Christ. What God is asking us or from us is simply this: faithfulness. Faithfulness. Listen to the words of James 4:4. It says, you adulterous people, what do we do wrong? Do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If you're not answering to an audience of one, if you're answering to an audience of some, and that is the world, the product of that is that you can't be God's friend, you can only be God's enemy. I can't be God's friend, I can only be God's enemy. Finally, 2 Corinthians 11:2-3 says, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I fear, he says, that you will get deceived by the world and you will leave Christ. Psalm 73, 27 and 28 says, "For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you." The King James is really pretty in this verse. It says, "You'll put an end to everyone who goes a-whoring from you." Unfaithfulness is committing adultery. But for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell all of your works. That I may tell of all your works. Will you and I choose today to be faithful to our spouse? Yes. But more importantly, faithful to our God. Because that's where it all begins. Allie's going to come and lead us in a song, or she's actually just going to sing it because she doesn't need us on this one. That speaks a little bit to our commitment to Him.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.